You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
And record. Recording in progress. All right, let's say we've started. Hello, I'm Morgan Avery, and that's Dylan Reeve.
That's the beginning.
Mm-hmm. So what have you been up to?
Are you recording, by the way?
Nothing. I just sit here waiting for the week to pass so we can record another podcast.
I've heard that you've been browsing Deal Extreme.
I still am browsing Deal Extreme as we speak. I'm not really even paying attention to you.
I'm not paying attention either. Why would anyone else? Don't expect you to, really. Don't expect
That's
you to
a ridiculous at all. Website.
Deal Extreme or Discourse CoNZ?
Deal Extreme. Discourse CoNZ doesn't sell much.
We sell nothing. All we do is we share ideas and opinions. Mm. We try and ignite a discussion on the week's events.
Sure, then, well, that's good too.
And if there is a discussion ignited, we ignore anything that's said by people who aren't us, and we just continue on our merry way.
Pig-headedly.
Pig-headedly. Dick-headedly. Big-mouthedly. From Ooh, the internet-ly. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if our listeners will notice anything different this week.
I noticed you're not popping as much.
Wow, amazing. That's because I finally, after 4 years or something, have got a pop filter.
Wow.
$10 well spent.
I haven't, so I still pop.
Pop. It's not a very good pop filter, so I don't even know if it makes any difference, but, you know, it's cheap and easy. The bigger difference, though, is it peaking? I don't know. Is I am not using the Behringer 1204 or 1202 or whatever it was, the mixer that we had previously been using.
Now, what are you using?
I'm using a Focusrite Scarlett 2i4. For anyone at home who's interested in nerdy stuff and wants to look it up, which is a lovely little USB connecting sound thing. I don't even know how you describe it.
It's a USB audio interface.
Yes, a USB audio interface. That's correct. It has two XLRs and it's got a couple of other inputs. It's very simple compared to the mixer, but hopefully it will. And also, I think it's quite clean sounded. Though,
it is. It's good. And it's not unlike the device I use, which is an Avid M-Box Mini.
Right.
It's the same, exactly the same type of product.
Mm. So I haven't set it up so that I can play audio through it.
No, that is tricky. When you're not using the mixer, obviously, to be able to play other audio in, you need to either do some sort of audio jiggery-pokery in the system or have an audio out feeding back into the mixer. You could use another computer to play it. That'd be the easiest way.
Actually, that's a really good point. I could just plug the laptop in.
Yeah.
So there's rumors. So the laptop I'm talking about is MacBook Air 13. There's rumors that there is a new MacBook Air coming out in the northern autumn, or as the Americans would say, fall, which would be our spring, or as the Americans would say, spring. And
crazy Americans.
And that is rumored to be a 12-inch. So there's currently 11 and 13 inches, but it was also rumored to have at least a high def, if not a Retina display. Because, of course, the current MacBook Airs have really shitty screens.
Mm.
I mean, they're not shitty, really. They're just low res, you know. It feels shitty by comparison with, for instance, anything with a higher resolution. Like, it's not 4K. It's not even 1080p. It's barely 720p. I think it's like 1300 and something or other by, I don't even know what the resolution is. But it's not very high. And so some people have said, you know, in the past when I suggested that maybe they could have higher quality screens, oh, but the battery life. Yeah, okay, but the iPad, the Retina iPads seem to have pretty good battery life, and they've got tiny batteries compared to the MacBook Air. And they seem to manage it. So why can't you do it on a MacBook Air?
Why?
I think the answer is you can, and the only reason that you wouldn't is because you are only incrementally improving your product lines. And fair enough.
Well, if you do it all at once, people wouldn't need to buy new ones so often.
That's correct. And I probably would buy a new one.
I just have an old system. I have a Samsung laptop, which I'm very happy with. But I recently discovered Samsung don't make laptops anymore.
Is that right? Have they sold the business to someone else who's
continued? No, I think they just wrapped up the production entirely. I don't think they do any sort of. I don't even know that product line exists any further at all from anyone.
Right.
It's not like IBM becoming Lenovo or other things that are similar that I can't think of.
So they dumped laptops and they're focusing on tablets and phones
and fridges
and monitors
and TVs.
So they basically, they make all of the stuff that's necessary to make a laptop, but then they just don't make a laptop.
I think it was probably getting to the point where you know, you go into any store and you look at laptops and they're all just such commodity products. Aside from, you know, the few like quite special ones, like the high end gaming laptops or the or the like the Mac, various Mac products, or, you know, like some of the HP workstation laptops. But for the rest of them, they're all just, it's so hard to evaluate. If you go and look at laptops in a store, because we bought Mel a new one recently, and it's just, you look at them all and you're like, none of this, just, there's no way to judge between them.
Yes, there is.
You choose the one that has the shittiest trackpad or the less shitty trackpad.
Yeah, and if that is an important criteria, you have to get a MacBook.
Yeah, no.
No, it's true, because they're the only ones with a decent trackpad.
No, I see what you're saying, but no.
I think that anyone at the moment who doesn't get a MacBook Air is nuts or has specific requirements that I'm not taking into account. Like the you mentioned,
well, my requirement is I don't want to spend that much.
Yeah, they are a little bit steep, aren't they? But not, I mean, you get amazing battery life. You get a really thin form factor, a really good keyboard, and a really good, an amazingly good trackpad. Not a very good screen and a very ugly bezel. And fuck, I don't know about you, but I am over aluminium. I do not need to see raw fucking aluminium.
I don't know if it was a MacBook. I think I used a MacBook Air for it was about half a day. I was sitting on it for something. Yeah, it was a MacBook Air. And I found that the way the keyboard was positioned and the size of it just meant that I got really nasty, it was really uncomfortable to use. Resting my hand on it, it kind of got cut into my palm.
Oh, weird.
I think
you need to hold your hands differently.
Yeah. Well,
you're holding it wrong, Dylan.
No, it wasn't comfortable for me to use, but I don't know if that's typical of all of them or if it was just that particular model.
The edges are definitely very sharp.
Yeah. I think that was
milled aluminium.
The sharp edge and just where it ended up.
I haven't had that problem though with pain of any kind using it. I've dragged my 13, you know, all around the fucking world.
When I described the problem, when I described the problem that I had, I actually pointed at my hand to show you where it was.
Oh yeah, good. Yeah, I could see that through the no video.
Okay, good. Well, that's worked out well then.
So the new one would be a 12-inch. The 11-inch is too small, and the 13-inch feels pretty good, but maybe a 12 would be fine.
Didn't they announce a new iPhone as well with an extra 0.7 of an inch?
Announce or rumor?
Oh, I thought that actually did nothing come out, because I thought there was a real thing.
Don't know if there's a real thing. People have had what they claim are the glass.
Oh, because someone I know who works in an Apple store was posted a photo of the new iPhone case the other day. A hard case for the phone, which was bigger than his normal phone. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe he was pulling my leg. I don't know.
An actual Apple store? So he's not in New Zealand?
No, not an actual Apple store. A New Zealand Apple reseller.
So absolutely not an Apple store then?
No, not an Apple store.
Not a genius. He's a smarty pants or whatever they're called here.
Fuck knows. He's an apple selling dude.
He's full of shit.
Yeah, I don't know what it was then.
I can't say that I follow Apple really closely, even though I am currently talking about an Apple rumor. It's just because I really like the Air a great deal. Now, let me say one thing though. I have done video editing on it, and it renders so slow.
Oh, that's pain.
Yeah, really slow. Like stuff that on my desktop. Which is an unfair comparison, but, you know, even so, it's the one I'm going to make. Stuff that renders on my desktop in, 2 minutes and 30 seconds probably takes, no shit, 30 minutes on the Air. And who knows? I don't think that that's going to change anytime soon, you know.
No, well, you got to make that. You know, you're making a payoff for battery life versus
portability.
Power.
Yeah, that's right. So you mentioned gaming laptops. Those things are terrible. Anyone who actually wants to game, if they want to game mobile, get a tablet or play on your phone, you casual motherfucker. And if you want to play serious games and you want to play them in your house, get a fucking desktop, you retard. Sorry, I don't mean to denigrate actual retards by calling you a retard, but you are the worst of the bunch.
I don't think it's worth to use the term actual retards, Morgan.
Listen, some people actually are retarded though. They like spazzes and mongs. You know, they're properly retarded.
Well, it's a good thing you're not running for political office.
If you want to play PC games, build an awesome tower case and put a couple of fucking amazing monitors on a desk, and it will cost less than a shitty gaming laptop, which would have battery life untethered of about 60 minutes, because those things chew down the power. They suck. They're not fast enough. They've got, relatively speaking, a tiny screen. You know, even the biggest ones are only 7. I mean, ignoring the stupid like 22-inch laptops, the biggest normal ones are like 17 inches, which is much too small. Get a beautiful modern 4K monitor, a beautiful case, couple of great video cards, and you'll still pay less than you would for that laptop. And if you need a laptop, just get a cheap fucking piece of shit laptop with, you know, whatever the PC, good battery life on a PC laptop, I think it's like 8 hours or something.
Have you seen the crazy, wait, no, my brain's broken.
All right,
yeah, LG monitor. It's like two.
Oh, the really wide ones?
The really wide ones.
Yeah, fucking nuts. Like, it doesn't do what anyone wants.
I know a couple of people who've got them now.
They should not have got them.
Well, apparently they're quite good for, because, you know, all us editors use two monitors next to each other all the time.
Yeah, but not like that.
Well, I mean, you're taking that middle bezel out. It's not a bad idea. It's just weird.
Yeah, but you actually, I don't know what layout you have. You usually use three monitors, don't you? Two, like,
monitors
and also like a playout TV screen.
Yeah,
right?
A broadcast monitor, yeah.
But so do you sometimes have like full screened on one of those monitors what you're editing?
If you didn't have a second, if you didn't have an external video monitor, you might.
Yeah. It's because that would be a bit of a problem if you were...
That'd be slightly unusual. That'd be quite an amazing thing. And it wouldn't do it, would it? Because it's just one monitor.
It would do it. Let me tell you how you'd do it. If the listeners at home and you, Dylan, at a Windows machine, hold down the Windows key and press the left and right arrow buttons.
Well, that totally works for normal apps, but it wouldn't work for a full screen thing. Like, if I'm in Avid, I can hit Control F, I think, and it makes my right monitor becomes a full screen viewing monitor.
Yeah.
Like, you know, full screen.
Right. No, so that's not going to happen.
That would only work if it had two separate, if that crazy double width monitor had two separate monitor inputs, which I doubt that it does.
I don't know about Avid, but in some editing programs, you can, like, the video preview bit, you can snap it out and then you'd be able to move that over.
That would be all right. But no, crazy. I haven't used one. I've not even seen one in the flesh, but I know a couple of people have got them.
I think people who want to be productive and are at a desk and want a very special monitor should just get a 4K monitor, or ideally two, or if not that, then just a couple of decent 1080p monitors. I think that, you know, the two monitor configuration that's so popular is popular for a reason. It's that it's really good. Now, it is true, of course, that there is a double bezel right in the middle, right where you'd ideally want to be looking. And also it's true that you don't really have kind of a focus display. I mean, ideally, I think you'd probably have like maybe one large one in the middle and two slightly smaller ones on the sides. And then you'd have like a main focus thing and then, you know, your additional information on the sides. Like if you're coding, the coding thing would be in the middle, maybe some docs would be on one side, and maybe like a preview of what you're writing would be on the right. I don't see how anyone can get by with one monitor, except of course when you're on a laptop and you're actually mobile, because then, you know, you do what you have to in that situation. But if you're actually building a desktop, they're super wide. They're like 28 inches wide or something, right? But they're
I have no idea, but yeah, probably.
They're like 2560 wide by 1080 high or something. Some really weird resolution, right?
Well, that'd be 13, what is it, 3940, 3840, whatever 1920 by times 2 is.
Right, that makes
3840.
I've seen one on Mighty Ape, I think.
Yeah, it'd be 3840 by 1080. Oh, no, it's 3840 by 1440. There you go. I think. Fuck, I don't even know anymore. No, that's not. Mystery.
Specials, monitors. I bet you're glad you tuned in.
Oh, it's good.
I want to see.
Now I've been looking at Deal Extreme. Every website I visit just has Deal Extreme ads on it. They're trying to drag me back.
That's not creepy. So there's a 25-inch LG Ultra Wide. Is that the one?
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh, no, there's a 29-inch Asus Ultra Wide. You know, it's 2560 by 1080.
Okay. Maybe they're not as ultra wide as I thought they were.
Oh, there's a 34-inch LG Ultra Wide. That might be...
Still not that wide, though. Still only 21 by 9 instead of what would be like...
3440 by 1440.
Yeah. Which is big enough.
It's getting up there, but it's just, yeah, it's not right. I don't know what problem they're actually solving. I mean, if you want to watch like Lawrence of Arabia on, let's be honest, actually quite a small screen compared to a TV, big for a computer, but quite a small screen relatively, then yes, you definitely could spend $1,700 on this piece of shit. Or you could spend probably about the same on a pair of 27 or 28-inch 4K monitors for not much more than that. Of course, you'd need new graphics cards as well. But
It's a hard life.
It's a hard life.
Let's talk about something dumb. Politics or...
No, I want to talk about something fun before we talk. All right, okay, let's talk about onthefence.co.nz. This is a website where you can go and you...
Have you done it?
Yes, I've done it.
Who does it tell you to vote for?
Māori.
I got Internet Mana.
My number two is Internet Mana.
So here's the thing that weirds me out about it. I only did it on my mobile, so I'm not sure if it's the same. I'm just going to check it on the desktop, see if it's the same. But the thing that was weird for me was that under every section it presents two questions.
Yeah.
But the two questions are basically exactly the same thing, phrased in opposite ways.
Well, that might matter.
Yeah, maybe it does. But I was like, I just answered this. So I kind of, you know, it was a bit strange.
It actually reminded me a little bit. I don't know if you've done them. It reminded me a little bit of the Scientology personality test, which I have actually done.
Yeah, so the first one, look. The law should prioritize the rights of employers over employees to enable them to run their businesses effectively from now to year. And then the second one on the same page is the law should prioritize the rights of employees over employers to ensure job security and fair working conditions. So those are the same issue phrased in opposite ways.
And you actually could vote both of them up.
It would confuse them.
Or both of them down. It would probably confuse them, but, you know, their weighting would just...
Moral of the story is I'm not voting for Internet Mana despite what the internet tells me to do.
I'm not voting for Māori despite... what onthefence.co.nz tells me to do, and I'm definitely not voting for Internet Mana. Well, actually, I guess I could possibly be convinced. I just find it extremely unlikely that any time in the next 5 weeks they're going to manage to get the messaging right that will spin me around 180 degrees.
I mean, you've seen that. You've seen the bleep John Key video, right?
Fuck John Key. Fuck John Key. Fuck John Key. Yep.
I don't give a shit about the supposed horribleness or whatever of the chant, because I don't believe for a second that is in any way specific to Internet Mana.
I think a lot of people think a similar thing about John Key.
Yeah, and people have apparently been chanting it for years at various events. So
people have been chanting things like that since before John Key existed, and they weren't saying it about John Key. They were saying it. I mean, the first I encountered because of my age was Robert Muldoon. People said horrible things about Robert Muldoon. People said horrible things about Helen Clark. People said horrible things about Jenny Shipley. People say horrible things about politicians they don't like. It's part of the game.
Well, when you're the leader of a country, and when you're in power, you obviously become more of a target for that because you're in power. Yep. But what was interesting about that is it was an event. I don't even know where that one was. Do you know which one that was in that video?
No.
Like what the location?
I don't know where it was.
It wasn't a large center though. It was a smaller center. And it was a lot of people. Mm. Like a lot of young people.
Yeah.
And they'd all paid to be there.
Yep.
So I can't help but wonder if maybe that is actually a sign that Internet Mana is going to really surprise us.
You know,
they're polling poorly.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm fairly suspicious that those people we see chanting fuck John Key there aren't well represented in the polls.
Yeah, I agree.
So it could be very interesting. I'm willing to be surprised.
I'm expecting to be surprised, and so I won't be surprised. Speaking of fuck John Key, Piggy Muldoon and, you know, dating back. So this thing about these people who burned the effigy of Key. That's not news. I remember burning an effigy of Robert Muldoon at Guy Fawkes in like 1983.
The amazing thing was that, like, John Key literally said that the internet party made and promoted that video.
Yeah.
That's astonishing.
Yeah, absolutely false.
Yeah. I tweeted about it. Students do dumb thing with fire. Clearly Kim.com's fault.
Do you think there's any chance that's the first time an effigy of Key has been burned?
No.
I think there is zero chance. I think it's
the first time one's been posted on YouTube.
Yeah, zero chance of that. And, you know, that those Key effigy burnings will date back till before internet mana existed.
Also, while we're at it,
mm-hmm.
there was the outrage about the Shylock comment, and I admit
really
that
weird.
I was...
Yeah, that's really weird.
Well, I didn't realize that had the anti-Semitic meaning. I understand why, but I didn't realize it had that common meaning. I also didn't realize John Key was Jewish. It seems strange to me that at the same time that Whale Oil and David Farah and others can be up in arms about a basically non-existent Labour candidate making that comment on a Facebook post.
Yeah.
It's totally cool. I don't know if Farah has, but I'm pretty sure that, in fact, I know for a fact that Whale Oil has. It's fine to be calling Kim.com Hitler and a Nazi.
Yes? Oh, did you expect me to say something?
I just don't understand why, like, just the fuck? What?
Well, I mean, it's possible that Kim.com is a Nazi. He does have some strange items in his possession.
Certainly.
But you can't have one without the other, can you? I mean, you'd be hypocritical. So I agree with you. I mean, I was aware of Key's Jewish, like his grandmother, right? I don't know that this necessarily makes him Jewish. Isn't it like passed through the mother, and it would have to be his mother or something?
Well, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't really understand religion. I find the whole thing very strange.
And well, that's
these cultural things, if you combine it with that as well, it all just gets too weird and stupid. And I'm not.
I have Jewish heritage, but I don't think I have enough. I don't think I have enough to be a citizen of Israel.
So Shylock is
a character from The Merchant of Venice.
Is also, it's a banking thing, right? It's an usurath.
An usurer, or whatever the word. It means a predatory lender, basically.
Yeah. And he made his money doing financial transactions.
Yeah, I mean, it's, but...
So...
I get frustrated when people get really hung up on the specific terms people use and don't look at the broader context. Now, if you look at the broader context of that, what is his name? Stephen...
I don't even know.
I can't remember either. But his comments are just kind of shocking in how lame, you know, how ridiculous they are for someone who's supposed to be a mainstream political candidate.
He should seem unsophisticated.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Not his, you know, poor choice of words.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's using those words at all and uttering them in the way that he is, it's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, people get really hung up on specific words. I don't really understand why. I think context is far more important. I understand that certain words do have quite a lot of power and meaning, but at the same time, context is still quite important.
So if I used the word, it would make people squirm.
Yeah. But if you, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But that's very clearly a word that's, you know,
words do have power.
Someone a kike or a hook-nosed or... You know, something that's very clearly has that specific intention, then that's different. But he used a word that has a meaning and a connotation.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think it was a dumb thing to say for a not particularly
the whole comment was dumb,
yeah.
Regardless of that specific word.
Another thing, election billboard vandals frustrate parties.
Yeah, I've noticed.
Get over it.
Well, it's always happened.
Yeah,
but absolutely. Again, it's another thing. It's like everyone's like, oh, look at the left. Well, of course it's the left because the fucking National is the government.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that the Labour Party billboards were getting quite soundly vandalised while Labour was in government as well.
They are currently getting vandalised. Well, every party's billboards
although
are getting
vandalised. Although I should note that near work, there's a whole string of billboards. Two of them had been knocked down while all the others were left standing. The two that had been knocked down were Internet Mana and Labour.
Right. And so who do we think did that?
Internet Mana supporters trying to... It was a false flag.
That's possible. Yeah. So I don't like the knockdowns. I think that's dumb. I think it can be quite funny if people, you know, deface them, alter them. And I don't mean like some of the stupid ones that I've seen photos of were like Team Key ones with like swastikas and stuff on them.
That's a bit lame.
That is definitely lame. Now, if that is a reference to the political ideology of the far right, maybe. But I suspected that it would probably
draw swastikas on things we don't like.
Some kind of comment on his Jewish ancestry. And I just don't really have much time for that. I think that's really stupid.
The best one I've seen.
Yeah,
I'm sure you've seen it too. Was the Colin Craig?
Oh yes, fantastic
eye replacement.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, so the whites of his eyes were cut out, and reflective plastic or some kind of reflectors were put behind. So during the day, it didn't really look like much had happened, but at night, if any light shone on it, his eyes glow like a cat's.
That's fantastic.
Very creepy.
That is genius. I saw someone had suggested on Twitter a while ago was putting LEDs in his eyes, like red LEDs that would glow at night. Because you can run an LED off a 9-volt battery for days. So you just tape a 9-volt battery with an LED stuck to it in the back of the and some resistors. I don't know.
No, you could simplify even more than that. Just get some of those solar garden lights.
Oh, brilliant.
Break off the bottom, and then it's got a solar panel on the back, so it'll recharge and just color genius. Color genius. It red. Swap it out for a red LED or something, and it's all the batteries are built in.
Seems like a lot of effort to go to vandalize a billboard, but the Colin Craig ones are kind of asking for it.
It does seem like a lot of effort, and the easiest thing to do is just push them over. But that's very unsophisticated kind of political speech, if you can even call it. It's a political act, I guess. But it's just shut it down rather than have fun with it. And I think having fun with it is go for it, go for it.
It's just protest.
I think if it's up there, it's fair game. To be honest,
they're an eyesore. Some of them, like there are places that they're just. Ridiculous. Like, there's one place that I drove by. Where was it? Some place that actually I couldn't see around a corner very clearly because there was one in the way. I was like, that's a traffic hazard.
Yeah. Now, anyone who is more closely affiliated with any party should not be touching other people's billboards. I don't think that's all right. I don't think it's all right for it to be organized. I think it should, if it's like an honest private citizen. Who just really desperately wants to turn Rodney Hyde's head into a cock, then I think that should be applauded and supported. But if it's someone who's like working on some specific politician's campaign, just stay away. Don't do it.
Totally. People should know better than to do. But some people are odd.
Yeah. So if we could. No, all right. One more political story. Two more, maybe three more political stories, and then we can stop talking about politics this week. How about that? Labour buying their way back. That's a quote from Key himself. Labour is trying to buy its way back into the election with expensive policies that would cost more than the party is admitting, Prime Minister John Key says, blah, blah, blah. Next story. National government, new Auckland schools to be built. The government has opened the country's wallet and promised to spend at least $350 million on building schools in Auckland. Well, motherfucker.
Where though? I'm curious to know this because...
What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
I'm willing to bet those are schools in high decile areas as well.
Yes, but they're also trying to buy their way to votes.
Yep.
Everyone does it, and it's a ridiculous criticism for the government to say that as a criticism. And then, like, not even 24 hours later, announce their own vote-buying policy. And they haven't even announced the majority of their policies yet. That doesn't happen for a couple of weeks yet. They're going to start 4 weeks out from the election. And that is going to be, then the fighting is really going to start, and it's going to be so much fun. I'm actually quite excited about this election. I think it still could go any way. It's Nationals to lose probably, but I think it is possible just because of the way the MMP works and the sneakiness of some of these tiny parties. The things that might happen there, like with the Conservatives potentially splitting Epsom, and in fact Epsom voters possibly getting tired of being told what to do and voting for Goldsmith. If that's
also,
what,
I mean,
what they
David
want.
Seymour's not a very appealing
he's
candidate.
Terrible. He's absolutely he's terrible. He might be a smart dude, but he doesn't have charisma, and he seems like a dickhead.
Yeah.
Like, he seems like a school prefect. Like
a, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was just thinking he's a bit like a head boy. Do you want to vote for the head boy, really?
And it's like, no, not really. Not really. But, I mean, he's got, you know, I think he's got political history. Like, I think he used to be like a speech writer and stuff for Brash and so on. Now, remember how well Brash did? Did he do really well? No, actually, not that well. Didn't last all that long. Didn't do very well at all, in fact.
He just got bored.
I don't know how far back. See, I guess we should probably start getting some more of these politicians on.
Oh, yeah, we could do that again, but some of them might not. Some of them might be annoying to talk to.
Mainly, we probably should. Oh, well, we can talk about that in a minute. Civilian party reaches threshold to register.
Yeah, they are registered. They have been accepted, I believe, as a registered political party.
Yep.
To just today, their official registration and party logo were accepted.
I emailed Ben to invite him on the show, and he did not reply. That's not how you win an election, motherfucker. We've got the numbers on Discourse. We could probably just about get you over the line to almost 1/100 of 1%.
And I was looking through because I've started doing some of the software for our Discourse election television show. I've been going through the raw data from last year's election. There's some very, very poorly polling candidates.
Yeah.
I think, in fact, David Seymour ran for ACT in Auckland Central.
Is that right? I don't remember that.
Last time? Well, of course you don't, because he came dead last, I think. No, it can't have been that bad.
Wow.
Could it? No, it couldn't have been that bad. I'm going to have to look now.
I'm going to have to look.
Because I saw him there. Where is he? David Seymour. Yes, he got 149 votes. So he didn't come dead last. The whatever party HR is came, the candidate for the HR party, whatever that is, came last.
Anthony van den Heuvel.
I don't know what the HR party is.
Human rights.
Is it?
Yeah.
There you go.
So the Conservative Party, Stephen Greenfield, almost, well, actually not quite doubled David Seymour's vote. New Zealand First, 412.
Yeah. So David Seymour did not do well in Auckland Central.
Man, the left really badly mishandled that election. I remember, I think it was on backbenches when, I can't remember anyone's, Damien Christie or someone said, Denise, are you campaigning for the electorate vote in Auckland Central? And she said, blub, 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 blub. And what she should have said was, please vote for Jacinda with your electorate vote and vote for Green with your party vote, because what I'm going to do by fucking around is I'm going to split the vote and... it's going to go to National again by a tiny fucking margin again, 700 goddamn votes. And if, I mean, Denise could have just not even been a candidate and Labour almost certainly would have won. 3,000 votes to Green, 14,300 votes to Labour, and National won it with 15,000.
Yeah, margin of 717.
Not, and so like one quarter of the people who... through their vote to Green, if they'd thrown it to Labour, then they would have had a left-wing representative in their electorate. But they were too fucking dumb to do it.
Still my favourite is my very own electorate, which doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Is the Waitakere electorate where National won by 9 votes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that electorate, the Green Party, got 1,900 votes.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Of course they did.
Oh, the Aotearoa Legalised Cannabis Party managed a cool 300 candidate votes in this electorate.
Wow.
Which is actually, that's insane. They got twice as many candidate votes as they did party votes. Who would vote for the... Oh, stoners. Never mind. Who would vote for the Aotearoa Legalised Cannabis candidate and not the party?
0.43% of Auckland Central party votes went to legalised cannabis.
Oh, God.
It's a strange party that is no longer going to need to exist within probably 10 years, I guess.
I still do for this next election.
Yeah, and I think people shouldn't waste their votes on those. I mean, look, okay, now, obviously, you should vote for whoever you feel like you should vote for. But I just think you are dumb if you don't vote for one of the real parties. If you vote for legalized cannabis instead of Green, you're dumb. Because if you want to legalize cannabis, you're much more likely to get that to happen with the Greens in government than you are with burning your vote on legalized cannabis, because they are never going to make it to the threshold and they're never going to get an electoral candidate to coattail in on.
So, wow. I'm just looking at last. Okay, so ACT, who got in Parliament, obviously because they got an electorate seat, got 1% of the party vote.
Yep.
1.07.
Yep.
The Conservative Party got 2.65. More than twice that of the ACT.
Yeah.
That's astonishing. And they were quite a new party then too. They'd only just come up before that campaign. Maybe they do have a chance. Can't wait to be a political wonk.
It's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to doing the election show. I don't know where it's going to be, where we're going to do it, I mean. Somewhere in Auckland, obviously. We've got some ideas that we've been discussing off air, and don't know how we're going to stream it. Might be on YouTube. Might be on, what did we use last time?
Justin TV or Blink or Twitch or one of those sorts of things.
Yeah, one of those things. It'll be on something. We'll make it very easy for you to watch. And I really think that you should watch. You know, put TV3 on your TV and then put us on your laptop, and then we'll be entertaining and they will be informative.
We have cupcakes.
We'll have cupcakes. We'll have our world-famous cupcake parliament.
And, if you have a location, thanks for Delish Cupcakes, by the way.
Thanks, Delish Cupcakes.
If you have a location that you'd like to donate to us to create our electoral show, and we only need it for the just that one day, in fact, really just probably the late afternoon onward, mid-afternoon onward,
we
on the
20th
of September.
Yeah, we'd be there pretty late.
Yeah, we'll be there for quite a while, but we won't start till the early afternoon.
Yeah, we will arrive with a lot of equipment and a surprisingly large crew, if last time is anything to go by.
And then we will test a whole lot of stuff that we haven't tested properly, and some of it won't work, and then we'll panic, and then we'll just about be ready to go when we're supposed to start, and then we'll be a little bit late, and then we'll get off the mark, and it'll kind of work.
And I won't quite believe that it started, because no one will have actually played a thing or told me that we were starting.
Wow. Sounds great.
Yeah.
So you want to tune in for that.
I really do think it was a good show.
Oh, it was great. And then we can make it even better this time. Yep. I've got so much more goodness in this. I've even got little magical twirly little earpieces to go in your ear.
We will almost certainly have a variety of actual people who know about political stuff.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm not going to name any names because we haven't invited any of them yet. And the really good ones will be on the telly. But we'll have the interesting ones, and we will have cupcakes, as has been previously noted, and we will have craft beer, and I'm not going to say who because it hasn't locked down yet, but it's probably the same as last time, just quietly. It'll be an epic evening, if you know what I mean. That was too subtle, probably.
I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of subtlety, discourse.co.nz/VPN, it's very expensive. So
it's a VPN you can buy, and then we get some money, and you get to download shit from the internet. No one knows what you've done, and you can pretend to be in America and watch Netflix. Carry on.
So there is actually more to it.
Not subtle.
It's very expensive, by which I mean it costs $50 a year. You can use it on 5 devices at once. You can conceal your IP. You can make it look like you're in any country you want. And they've just announced a new service called Smart DNS.
Oh, brilliant.
Which you can then plug into your Apple TV without using the VPN. And it does all of that tricky DNS stuff, which I don't even know what it is. And you can watch Netflix without it going through the VPN.
And that's a better way to do it, because if you go through the VPN, all your traffic goes through the VPN. But if you do it with the DNS trick, then only your initial requests go through the VPN, and then after that the raw video traffic comes straight to your computer faster.
Yeah. Additional cost, $0. So
that's great. I have $0.
Well, you also have to have a discourse.co.nz/VPN account, which we don't provide, and I don't know why I don't name the actual people that provide it, but you know, why would I don't want to confuse.
Is it because
people.
You can't remember?
I can remember. I just don't actually want people to go directly to them, because then it won't be our affiliate code and there'll be no point in us talking about it. But listen, honestly, I would recommend that you use this even if we didn't get like a dollar. And by the way, all that money goes to crowdfunding stuff. Not crowdfunding, you know, microfinance stuff. We don't get any of it. Dylan certainly gets none of it.
I don't get any of it.
We get nothing out of that, really.
If, however...
It's such a good service. It works really well.
If you go to my website, also.dylanreeve.com, it's the one where I don't write about TV shit, and then you went in there and you found out my instructions about how to watch Netflix in New Zealand, then you clicked on the link and signed up to whatever the fuck it is I suggest there, Unblock Us, then I'd get some money. But don't do that. Go to discourse.co.nz/VPN.
How much does Unblock Us cost a month?
$5. It actually costs more now that you point it out. But
yep.
To be fair, I just went to discourse.co.nz/VPN, and the pricing that you list there is way overestimated. So you really should.
It's $50 a year if you pay for a full year, but you can pay for like a month and it costs more.
I see. Also,
yeah,
if you wait for a little while. Like, if you go to discourse.co.nz/VPN and you click on the link and you go through and you want to buy and you wait for just a little while.
Oh, you'll get a discount off it.
You get another $5. It's like, yeah. Wait, you haven't purchased it yet. We'll give you another 10% off.
Yeah, it's like $45 if you're prepared to wait 15 seconds before signing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do that.
And it says 30 gigabyte allowance. I don't think there is any allowance. I think it is pretty much unlimited.
Wow.
Yeah. It is a fantastic service. It really works well. It does exactly what you think. And that is, it means that, no, we need to go back to deniability. It means you can watch BBC iPlayer and Zatto, whatever, I don't even know what that is, and Satanta Sports and Demand 5. What is that? You can watch all of those wonderful international television, legal international television streaming services, which you are entitled to, probably. Oh, one thing I should point out. If you want to watch Netflix, you need to have a Netflix account, of course. That will cost you extra.
$8 US a month.
And that's not cheap. But you can also watch, you know, BBC iPlayer stuff, which there is no fee for. And I don't do that too much because, you know, honestly, you know, we get a false impression of the quality of other countries' TV. In New Zealand, because the stuff that makes it to New Zealand from, say, BBC, is just the best that they've got. It's not everything they've got. Most of what they've got is garbage.
We get some pretty good telly.
We get some pretty good telly, except it is now mainly customs and police.
Yeah.
Jesus, have you noticed how many of those goddamn shows are on right now?
They're great. They're awesome.
They are easy to watch, and they probably don't cost very much to make. And I suppose that's... You know, we'll feed some kind of sap to the masses, and then they will be complacent and fat when we finally rise up. And
sounds exciting.
And take over. Microsoft reignites Mac versus PC conflict for new Surface Pro 3 ads. Microsoft is bringing the Mac versus PC battle back with full force. While the company targeted the MacBook Air at the launch of the Surface Pro 3, Microsoft's latest ads place both devices head-to-head and blah, blah, blah. But why would you? Because honestly, MacBook Air is really good.
Okay.
Not touchscreen, though. That's a funny sort of a thing these days. Do your kids ever try and swipe stuff on the TV?
Oh, shit. Well, not the TV, but definitely.
Because your kids are dumb, that's what I'm saying.
No, because the TV,
yes,
it's up on the wall. I can't actually reach it. That's probably the main reason.
Yeah.
But Cassidy, when he sits at the computer, when he watches, because he watches YouTube videos on the computer sometimes.
Yeah.
And he hasn't figured out the mouse for some reason.
Right.
He tries to touch the screen.
Mouse is very strange.
Yeah.
It's very abstracted.
I think the other two got the mouse concept really quickly because they had not been introduced to any touchscreen devices at that point. But Cassidy's been using or playing with an iPad since before he, well, not since before he was born, but he's had one since he was, you know, old enough to touch things.
Yeah.
Well, not had one, but he's, you know, used it. And so he totally gets the touching and swiping.
Yeah.
But not the mouse, doesn't get the mouse.
Yeah. Microsoft are a bit hapless lately. Not doing too well. But then, every now and then, something leaks out of the labs.
Yeah, the
Hyperlapse.
That's amazing. But this has come out because Microsoft, lots of these companies have research departments, right, which work on all sorts of crazy stuff.
And Microsofts are the best in the world.
Well, among them, certainly. They've come out with some great stuff. Some great.
No, I really think they're the best in the world, just based on what we see. And I'm absolutely sure we don't see a third of it.
Well, so you've seen that. And there's another fantastic one I linked to a while ago, which was also out of SIGGRAPH. So SIGGRAPH is an international conference. It's a computer graphics conference, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's where the visual effects community and, you know, video or the photo, whatever these types of things, visual effects mainly, computer graphics, all come together and show off their stuff. And this is where this one came up. And there's another one which uses, which integrates 3D models and photographs in an amazing way.
Yeah.
Just mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. So now, SIGGRAPH is on right now. Mm. It's got a couple of days left to go in Vancouver. And so that's where we use, that's where we'll see all these things. So I'm sure if you went to YouTube and searched for SIGGRAPH, SIGGRAPH 2014, you'd probably find a bunch of other amazing, mind blowing demo videos as well.
So the one that you're the other one, the 3D object manipulation in a single photograph using stock 3D models. There's a YouTube link which you'll see in the show notes if you're interested to go and look. It's very, very clever. Now the thing that is cleverer though is that that photo one, the 3D object photo thingy, clevery thing, they actually have code so that you can try it out. Unfortunately, this Microsoft one, which takes a long clip that you might have shot with, let's say, a GoPro, and it speeds it up, but it also does lots of really clever space detection, like 3D space construction based on the points that it detects in the footage. So it can then kind of, instead of just speeding it up and just doing some kind of smoothing, it essentially is creating an interpolated version of the 3D space that the video was shot traveling through, and then it reconstructs that. So it's very smoothed, even though it's very much sped up.
It's so incredible.
And it's an extraordinary effect. You absolutely should go and watch it. There's a link to that in the show notes as well. Microsoft transforms bumpy GoPro videos into smooth works of art, if you can't be bothered reading.
So there's a short demo which just demos the results, basically. You know, mm-hmm. Here's the before and here's the after. And then there's a longer demo where they actually kind of show a little bit about how it comes together, which is equally amazing.
And I think it's worth watching both. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. And I really wanted to find some code because I've got a bunch of footage of stuff that's just too long to do anything with. Like, you know, probably everyone who's got a bunch of cameras and likes to make the occasional video thing like me has stuck cameras on cars, right? But they're just too long and not quite smooth enough and not quite interesting enough. But if you compress that 20 or 30 minute footage of like driving from Littleton to Christchurch through the tunnel and, you know, over the hills and stuff, into a 30-second clip with, you know, this just amazing otherworldly smoothing, this gliding effect, it would be cool in a 30-second clip, you know?
Yeah,
it's just no good as a 30-minute clip. Or even, you know, as a 10-second clip, you know, whatever. Use your judgment. You know, this modern age, people don't have an attention span anymore. Obviously, you have an attention span, you listen to podcasts. People who listen to podcasts are probably the best sort of people.
Yeah, or they just have a long commute.
Well, they have a long commute, or they're not actually listening, and this is just playing in the background while they write computer software. And every now and then they hear something and they think about winding it back.
God, if someone were programming while we're doing this, we could probably mess with them by like saying programming things. I don't know. Yeah.
Semicolon, brace.
For.
Yeah. Go sub.
If then.
Poke.
Go to.
Go. 10. What? 10 print. Lol discourse 20. Go to 10. I'm sure that'll work great in JavaScript.
God, I hope someone programs that and sends us the results.
No. I can imagine it in my head. Even, I mean, that was I think most of us, that was our first programming experience. If you grew up with computers in the 1980s, writing programs in BASIC on, let's say, an Amstrad CPC 6128, then, you know, the 10, whatever, 20, go to 10, that was the main thing that you'd do.
I remember... I must have been about 8 or 9, and my parents were going out and they had a babysitter come around, childminder. I preferred the term childminder at the time.
Yeah.
I had written this computer program to impress her, and I was like, type your name in, and she typed her name in, and then it says, hello, you know, her name. I was like, wow, look at that. Woo, blow your mind. The computer knows who you are. It's talking to you. That was amazing.
And she was like, eh.
She was like, what the hell are you doing, you weirdo? Let's watch some TV.
Yeah. Speaking of typing your name in, we haven't done a what's your aunt been talking about? What's your something been sending you on VPN? I'm in VHS.
discourse.co.nz/VPN. It's surprisingly not actually that expensive. You should go and sign up.
Halt and catch fire.
That's instruction?
There is an instruction, but it's also a recommendation on a TV show to watch. It is an AMC program, just like Breaking Bad. And it's not just like Breaking Bad. It's I guess people might say it was a bit more like Mad Men in that it's a period drama. But it is set in the early 1980s in a computer company, a real computer company called Compaq. But this is not Compaq. This is kind of a fictionalized version of some of the first PC compatibles.
Wait, it's called Compaq?
The company is not called Compaq. It's called,
oh, I see.
I can't remember what it's called.
I was like, it's called Compaq, but it's not Compaq.
Yeah. Now I need to look it up because I can't remember.
So what did you say? It was called Stop and Catch.
Halt and Catch Fire.
Oh, okay.
The company is called... Even looking at a page.
More riveting television here.
Yes.
I'm looking for, I quite like the idea of it, because is it the early 80s? Is that
Cardiff,
right?
Cardiff Electric is what they've decided to call the company. I think it's set in like 1983.
I love stuff that's set in the past, but not so distant in the past.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to the announced, but not anything more than that Outrageous Fortune prequel that
I'm not.
Well, whatever.
I'm not going to watch it. So let's keep talking about Halt and Catch Fire. All okay. I'm going
to
say now.
I was just trying to fill space while you were figuring out what the stupid company was called.
Cardiff Electric, I already said.
Yeah, I know, but I was going on. It's already started by that point.
10 episodes. It's already started and finished. Discourse Guns, etc. And it's pretty good. The characters are all very difficult and they are frustrating. And, you know, things don't necessarily work out for anyone, episode to episode, or maybe even in the bigger picture. But it's quite a good show to watch. You know, it's quite fun. And, you know, it is very interesting looking at the recent past, but not too far back. You probably don't remember 1983, but I remember 1983. I'm sure that is actually.
Don't remember a lot about 1983, no.
I remember very few things. I do remember bonfires, though. And effigies of Robert Muldoon. It might have been 1984 that happened. Might even have been 1985. Wouldn't have been very topical to have a Muldoon effigy at that point. But, you know, sometimes political discourse is not it's not up to the minute necessarily, is it, when you're building effigies?
No, you could still be pretty pissed off at Muldoon by then.
Yeah. Yeah, I think people still are now. Some people.
I don't get my opponents much time either.
So, Halt and Catch Fire. I'm sure it's coming to a New Zealand television network near you any minute. May even have started playing. I don't know. Thieves Steal. Oh, what were you going to talk about? Oh, you were going to talk about the prequel to The West Thing. What's it called?
I think they're calling it West Side or West Side Story or something.
Right.
But it's the you know, the characters that were, what's it, Cheryl and Wolf?
Yeah.
But it's them, as I guess, in their early 20s, so set in the 1970s.
Yeah.
I just like the idea of a 1970s New Zealand. It'll be interesting to see how they go with it.
Yeah, lots of shitty cars that if you crash,
Hope
you
so.
Die. If you crash, you die, and the steering wheel probably wobbles quite a lot.
Everyone drives a Holden Kingswood, I assume.
That's right. Yeah, I expect that's probably correct. I'm oh, jeez, would I watch it? I might watch an episode. I didn't watch Outrageous Fortune very much. You know, the every now and then, but I wasn't.
I watched the first probably two or three seasons quite religiously. Not much. I think I things changed. Probably children and shit changed my. Not that it was that long ago, but you know.
Yeah. One more thing quickly about Halt and Catch Fire. No spoilers, but even though it's an early 80s computer thing and there are a whole lot of male characters, the smartest and most capable engineers and coders are all women. So if you are a woman or you like women, then that is another point in this show's favor, because it's all realistic. It's not like token coder. It, you know, it rings true to me. But it's very interesting. Anyway, Thieves. Are we finished talking about the TV stuff?
Yeah.
Don't forget to rewind the tape. Thieves steal 100 kgs of mince.
Mince.
Yeah. This is
ground beef, right? Not mince.
No, not like after dinner mince. A Christchurch butcher has fallen victim to a massive mince heist. A man and a woman drove off with 100 kilos of mince from Westmeat Meat Suppliers after a new
meat
staff...
Meat suppliers.
I may have said that, but it's not what I meant to say.
Right, suppliers.
It's not what I meant to say. After a new staff member loaded it into their car about 3 p.m. on Saturday. The staff member thought the customer had paid for the haul.
Well then.
Dumb.
How? I want to know more.
Yeah.
I want a TV movie of this meat heist.
No. 100 kilos of mints. What do you do with 100 kilos of mints?
How about what my auntie's been listening to? There's a podcast I started listening to recently.
Discourse Cohen Z. It's really good.
No, it's not that. When I'm not listening to Discourse, what I like to listen to is Nerdist. And when I'm not listening to Nerdist, sometimes I listen to WTF. And when I'm not listening to WTF or Nerdist, sometimes what I'm listening to, quite often actually, and I'm really liking it a lot more, is a podcast called The Dollop. Highly recommend it.
Before you recommend it, because
I
would like to end on a positive note, this segment that has just appeared, which is apparently podcast reviews. Mark Maron. I'm fucking tired of him. I don't need to hear his whining.
Oh, to be fair, when I listen to WTF, I do fast forward the first few minutes.
Few minutes?
Yeah, sometimes 12.
Sometimes more than 12 minutes. Now, firstly, he has too many ads. I've heard them already. I understand that that's how he makes money. Some of his
Stamps.com/WTF.
Yeah, exactly. And the fucking flowers thing around Valentine's Day and stuff. It's like,
oh, there's chocolates as well. Sherry's berries.
Oh, good grief.
Chocolate coated strawberries.
And there's some kind of sex warehouse thing, which is like, if you want to put things in your things, put your things in other things. Then
AdamandEve.co.nz, .com.
Hey.
/WTF.
We don't talk about New Zealand sex stuff supplies without them giving us money.
Peachesandcream.co.nz.
No.
Sorry. /discourse.
Mark Maron is just a pathetic, angry crybaby, and he's never going to get over it, but he needs to get over it, and I'm not really interested in hearing his whining anymore. I do, though, unfortunately, sometimes quite like his guests, and so it is really painful to have to suffer through his endless fucking bullshit just to get to them, because he is a dickhead.
Well, that's pretty dramatic. I wouldn't have put it like that, but that's fine. It's his shtick. It works for him. But
I don't think it's only shtick, though, because like,
if you seen his TV show?
If it was just, yeah, I have a little bit. It's not very good. If it was only an act, he wouldn't have broken up with his girlfriend.
Did he?
And I'm so embarrassed about knowing about all of that. Like, he broke up with the woman he was engaged to, who had been talking about having kids with, and then he hooked up with Moon, and then they broke up as well because he's fucking a dickhead.
Who?
Moon.
Who's that?
Moon Unit Zapper.
Oh. Oh.
How often do you listen to WTF?
Well, I tell you, I fast forward through that every time. I don't listen to any of that.
Right. You're probably smart too, because I'm embarrassed to have even known about that stupid gossipy bullshit.
Right.
Because it's not interesting. The thing that's interesting is the guest, and that's only about like 1 in 4 or 1 in 5 that they have an interesting guest. So it's really nice not listening very regularly. But I really wish he could just get help that told him to stop being a fucking bitch.
I am sure there are plenty of people who tell him that.
Yeah. It's really funny when he talks to people and they talk about how, you know, things had been hard and then they got over it. And he's always really surprised by people just getting over it, like moving on. Onwards and upwards. Doesn't understand. Wine, are we finished with? Oh, no, you're going to talk about Dollop.
Oh, no, it's called The Dollop. It's two comedians. Basically, one of them ends up telling the other one a crazy story.
That's a bad start.
Eh? Yeah. No, it's a great start. I heard about it originally because they did a whole episode on our Tickle King thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I listened to that, and despite the fact I knew the story inside out, it was hilarious to me listening to one guy tell another guy about it.
Yeah.
And then I've since listened to all the rest of them that they've done, and they're amazing. The most recent one is about daredevils. They talk about Evel Knievel and another guy who's less well-known, such that I can't even remember his name, and just the insanity that was these two.
So Tickle King's going to be next year, right?
I would say so at this point because we still have more. We have more.
Don't rush it, man. Don't rush it.
No, I don't think we will. I mean,
do it right because, you know, honestly, this feels, you know, just the way the story unraveled, if you tell it right, I mean, this is potentially a fucking amazing story if you do it right. And if you rush it, it's not going
to
be right.
We'd certainly like to do it that way because we don't want to, because that's the problem. We got to the point where we've shot, like, so basically the story as we pitched it on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
We've pretty much shot what we expected to. Like, When we set out and thought, what are we going to get when we go and look, when we go and chase this stuff? Who are we going to talk to? What are we going to get? What are we going to see? We basically got all of that stuff we imagined. But between when we started the Kickstarter and basically when we got back from the States, actually, we learned a lot more and we found a few new areas of interest that we need to follow up.
Yeah.
And it feels to me that if we only told the story as we've got it now,
yeah,
we kind of wouldn't be telling the whole story and we need to follow up the rest of it. And the problem is, of course, we've spent the Kickstarter money, so we need to figure out how to make sure we can tell the rest of that story. And if we can't, then we will obviously just deliver what we were originally going to, but it feels a little bit not right. So we want to make sure we get the rest of it as well, which we're pretty confident we can do. We just need to finish organizing a few things.
You have to.
Yep, we've got a pretty good thing in place, and we've got some good people helping us out.
Don't rush it. No, I don't feel like there's any real time pressure on when.
Well, there is a little bit in terms of in a very quantum kind of way. Our very making of the documentary has changed the behavior,
right,
of the people we're interested in, and in some ways, of course, made it harder for us to find them, and made some of the things that we want to talk about kind of a little bit obscure and hard to track down. So we obviously want to chase all that stuff up.
Right.
Before it goes away. You don't want it to go away and then be left saying, well, this was kind of this thing that was happening.
Tell the whole story. And don't be afraid to do interesting things with it.
Recreations, are you up for some tickling?
It's usually, isn't it, twinks?
Yeah, but I mean, we'll just go with what we've got. You're available. So.
I'm not a twink. I'm more like a bear, let's be honest. You know, slap some leather chaps on me and I'd be pretty much indistinguishable.
That's a quote.
Yes. Wine and cigarettes. I'm really looking forward to it. Dylan, by the way, really looking forward to it. I can't wait to see it. But I am very happy to wait for
I think you'll have to anyway. But
very happy for it to wait for it to be finished because I feel like it is such a good story. And I mean, I know that Farrier normally tells stories fast because he's a TV guy. And I know that you normally do like quite, you know, technically and production-wise, very different kinds of work, and I think that you got to take the time to do it right.
I think we will, and we've got good people helping us. There's so much I would love, especially to tell anyone and everyone, but there's a lot of things.
No spoilers. No, absolutely not.
Hashtag no spoilers.
Yeah, no fucking spoilers. Moving on. Wine and cigarettes not the same. Say New Zealand winemakers and possibly also New Zealand cigarette manufacturing companies, which I don't think there are any. Winemakers are confident they won't be forced to introduce cigarette-style warnings on bottles in New Zealand and say there's no need for it. I agree. A group of MPs in the United... This is why this has come up. A group of MPs in the United Kingdom have called for the British government to make it compulsory for manufacturers to label wine bottles with health risks and calorie information. But the call hasn't been received well by winemakers here, with the UK being one of New Zealand's largest exports for wine. Cigarettes consumed as intended have the tendency to kill you. That's not the situation with products containing alcohol, said the New Zealand Wine Growers Chief Executive Philip Gregan. And that's correct.
Exactly my point. Yep. Yeah, that was always my thing. It just doesn't.
Now, it might be that actually you should put calorie information on it because calorie information is on fucking everything.
Yeah, it is surprising that that's not
there. So why would you actually, why would you not do that? Now, there might be a design question. And so perhaps it shouldn't be mandated that it has to be like a 10 centimeter by 8 centimeter white box with a specific typeface. It should just be a requirement that it, you know, include a certain information in a legible fashion. And that would be adequate, and it would be hard to argue with that. But I don't think you need to have, like on cigarette packets, there's, you know, photos of people with, you know, cancer rotted out mouths and stuff, right? There is no need for an equivalent thing on wine bottles because some people have trouble with alcohol, but it's not most of us, and most of us won't have any kind of physical effects like that. I mean, some people have the odd car crash, you know. So what are you going to have? You're going to have a woman who's been punched in the face? Watch out for alcohol. Don't drink too much because you're an angry fucking thug and you might beat up your missus. Is that the sort of warning there'd be? Equivalent to cigarettes? Because, you know, that's the most likely harm. Or yeah. Or like a picture of a woman with spew in the ends of her hair. And like a suggestion, maybe a diagram on the back. If you're going to spew, make sure a friend's holding your hair back.
Brilliant. That would be great. I'd like to see that.
Wash your mouth out afterwards before you go and bash some boy. Do you remember the things that, I don't know about you, the things that we used to do, like at a mate's place at age like 16 or 17, and one or both of you would spew and then you'd go back to pashing. And it's like, oh my God. Oh my God. We did that. Amazing.
I don't think that happened, but that sounds awesome. It didn't happen to me. I mean, it obviously happened.
I think you were a bit of a shut-in for quite a lot of your early life.
Yeah, I just didn't spew a lot.
Yeah. 10-year New Zealand passports could return
at a price.
So this is bizarre because we had 10-year passports and we changed to 5-year passports. And
for no good reason.
Because the Americans suggested they wanted us to, I think.
No, I don't even think it was that. I think we decided to ourselves when we went to biometric passports.
Now, did we pay less for 5-year passports?
We did not, or maybe marginally less, but the passport office has made a significant profit.
This suggestion that it will cost more to make 10-year passports is an absolute lie. All you have to do is put a different expiry date on it.
Exactly.
It's literally just a different expiry date. That's it.
I got a 10-year visa in my 5-year passport. Thanks. Right. That's helpful.
I think my passport actually expired this year. I haven't sorted that yet because, of course, with the name change, I didn't want to get a new passport before the name was done. And I'm not going to be traveling for a few months with the kids.
Actually, to be fair, I got the wrong visa, so that one's been cancelled, and I've got a 5-year visa now.
Right. The whole thing is bizarre. We definitely should go back to 10-year passports, and they should cost the same.
Or even less. Frankly, because
the passport
office has such a fucking surplus.
But they won't have that anymore because they'll be producing fewer passports.
Oh, I see. Hmm. All right.
But the thing is that's why I wanted to make the point that we didn't pay less when we went to 5 years, right?
So I don't think we did. There may have been a slight cut in cost, but it was not, certainly wasn't substantial.
So if that will mean that they have too many staff, then I'm very sorry to say this, they will have to get rid of some of those staff.
Even Janice.
Well, Janice has probably got institutional knowledge, which is really valuable, so they should keep her. But there'll be a bunch of new people that they've got who don't know shit, and they just push buttons, and we don't necessarily need them to do that job.
Okay.
Now, if they were understaffed previously and now they're correctly staffed and will still be correctly staffed under a 10-year regime, then okay. But I don't believe that it needs to cost more. And that, I think, is a red herring. It's complete garbage. On the face of it, it just feels like a fucking bizarre, weird lie. I don't understand the motivation for sticking so tightly to 5-year passports, which are just frustrating and stupid and expensive and I find the whole thing was an obnoxious change that was never clearly justified. And so, anyway, 10 years, same price, bottom line. And when you have your new 10-year passport, you could perhaps go to Paris, I would suggest. And if you do, you could go to Pont des Arts and you could write your name on a padlock that you could buy from a street hawker there who possibly would try to pick your pocket at the same time. And then you could close that. You could lock that around the mesh side of the bridge. And with your love there, you could throw the key over the side of the bridge.
Sorry, I stopped listening. I zoned out.
Because I talked about romantic stuff in Paris.
I think so.
So there's a place called – well, actually, basically every bridge in Paris now has got padlocks on it. But the
Pont d'Arc, yeah.
The Pont d'Arc is the one and it's only been for like a few years. This is not something with a really long history, right? It started like, I think there was some kind of silly marketing campaign or something, and it started this thing off, and now it's kind of taken on a life of its own. We put two padlocks on the Pont d'Arc. I have to confess, we're part of the problem. Paris is we put one on for a relative who died while we were away, and we put one on that was actually for us.
All right, because I didn't think you needed one each.
No.
That's okay.
No, there was one for this relative who died who had wanted to go to Paris and didn't.
Understandable.
No, if you want to go to Paris, go to Paris. It's really easy to get there. You get on a plane and it takes you, just like everything else. As Telecom/Spark now say, don't stop starting. If you want to do something, you have to do it. You will not get to Paris, no matter how much you want to, if you don't go to Paris. See, it sounds silly and obvious, but there are some people who just don't ever quite get the idea that if you don't do it, it won't happen. Anyway, so they want people to take a selfie on the bridge rather than locking a padlock on because the bridge is getting damaged by the – I mean, have a look at some of the photos. Search for Pondart, P-O-N-T space, D-E-S space, A-R-T-S. And you will see how many padlocks we're talking about. It is not a small number of padlocks. It is basically all of the padlocks. They're all there now. Every padlock is now on this bridge. So every now and then, I think they have to clear them out a little bit, and it's doing damage, and that takes time, and it's blah, blah, blah. But
part of it collapse?
I don't care. I don't know. Maybe.
I'm pretty sure just like in the last couple of weeks, part of that bridge railing collapsed.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's just they're clipped onto like a wire mesh on the sides, and it's the padlocks will be very heavy. Now, that collapsing, that wouldn't have been a hazard to people because the bridge itself is a very strong, sturdy, modern bridge. And it would have just been a side panel that would have, you know, maybe peeled away or something. Who knows? I say they should embrace it. I mean, fair enough asking people to take a photo instead of leave a padlock, but I think people should continue to leave a padlock because it's actually kind of a nice thing to do. You know, when we were there, obviously, you know, we hung around for a little while, we watched other people do it, and it made them happy. You know, it's sweet. And it's harmless, really. I mean, who cares about a fucking panel, a bit of wire falling off the side of the thing? It only cost us like €2 or something to get the fucking padlock. And so why wouldn't you do it? But everyone should go to Paris. It's a fucking such a fun city. You still zoned out? Robin Williams.
Yeah, Robin Williams. That was a big hit today.
Well, John, the good news or the bad news?
All right, go. Yes.
Which do you want first?
Yes.
So the good news is that there are 4 Robin Williams movies that have already been produced and that are coming out in the next year.
Oh, that'll go well.
That's the good news. The bad news is that there are 4 Robin Williams movies that are yet to come out. Because let's be honest, not everyone was a winner.
No, but a lot of them look pretty good. And the ones he wasn't, even if they weren't winners, his performances tended to be pretty great. I was just looking at there's a website you can go to. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Some sort of pirate something or other. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if any old Robin Williams movies had shot up the most downloaded charts, and yeah. They haven't. So right. There you go.
But surely on some pirate whatever something or other site, you'd have to have like, you know, 12,000 seeds and 5,000 leeches to get to the top.
Oh, you'd have to have quite a lot of like 12,428 seeds or something to even get to the number 3 position.
Yeah.
Whatever seeds are, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, look at that. Captain America, something or other, Winter Soldier. That's actually quite a good movie.
Well, I don't even know what you're talking about now.
Unrelated.
Carry on.
Captain America. Unrelated. Also bad news, BuzzFeed have raised $50 million for expansion, including for making movies. And
BuzzFeed movies?
Yep.
Oh, I can't wait.
A shocking movie, and you won't believe what happened next.
I literally cannot wait.
Not sure why we need more BuzzFeed in the world, but we're going to have it, like it or not. Like it or not.
Although the fucking... I don't think of BuzzFeed anymore after their really good reporting of the MH17 thing.
Yeah.
No, it was MH17, wasn't it?
I think everyone should watch the Vice stories about what's it called? The Islamic Caliphate. They're now up to 3 parts of that story, and it is really interesting, actually. Pretty much an inside story on organized ISIS inside Syria. Really fascinating. It doesn't come across as leadingly judgy, but I think people will be able to draw their own conclusions. Pretty much feels like it does the classic journalist's job of just telling the actual story. Yeah, you know, it's hard to tell. I mean, obviously, there are editorial decisions with every edit, but you know, it's not like some preachy white person telling you what to think. It's, you know, actually ISIS people and in their own words. So it's really interesting to watch.
Did you see the screenshot that's tweeted today? It was ISIS supporters, a couple of ISIS supporters exchanging comments about Robin Williams' death.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
It's surreal.
Yeah. You know, look, everyone is people aren't actually caricatures. You know, people have
no. It's weird to think of, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you think, like, you know, even the guys who, you know, the 19 guys who hijacked the planes on 9/11. Even all of those people up until that point were relatively normal dudes
with hopes and desires.
Yeah, yeah. And jobs and families and friends and
crushes,
activities,
favorite songs,
TV shows that they watched,
favorite mountain bike trails,
craziness,
happy memories of going swimming in different places. And then they murdered a bunch of people.
They did quite a few.
And set the world off in a really unpleasant direction, which it still hasn't recovered from. All right, hey, that's a really positive note to end the show on. Have you got anything better? I don't suppose you've got an Urban Dictionary Word of the Week by any
chance. Don't. I could randomly go to Urban Dictionary and find one, but chances are it'd end up being terrible and we'd feel bad about it.
Quick do you reckon you're? All right, no, don't do it. Hey, thank you very much for listening. It's been so good having you.
I think we talked for about 6 hours.
That might be right. And geez, it did take a long time to get started. I'm sorry I left you waiting for so long, but I did have to have dinner and all of that other stuff.
If you skip back through to the beginning of your recording, I'm sure you'll find the sound of you eating dinner. You could probably put that right here.
Once again, I'm probably not going to do that kind of thing.
I even this little gap. I said here, and it's made it quite like a definitive stop, so you could cut in the dinner eating sounds. But that's fine. You don't have to do what I said.
I'm honestly, I like to cut things out. I don't really like to put things back.
Carry on.
Fish and chips. Fish and chips. Fish Sorry, and chips.
This show is cancelled. Beep.
We don't read and write poetry because it's cute. We read and write poetry because we are members of the human race, and the human race is filled with passion. Medicine, law, business, engineering, these are noble pursuits and necessary to sustain life. But poetry, beauty, romance, love, these are what we stay alive for. To quote from Whitman, O me, O life, of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish, what good amid these, O me, O life? Answer, that you are here, that life exists and identity, that the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse, that the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. What will your verse be?